Go ahead and open it up to James. Let me tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I want to come to a very simple principle that everybody knows, but just call us back to it. And it's basically to be obedient to the Word of God. To be obedient to the Word of God. So, James chapter 1. I'm going to read three portions of Scripture to start with and talk about them. James 1, Hebrews chapter 5, and then over in Matthew chapter 7. But let's start here in James chapter 1. The heading in mind says hearing and doing the word of God. So I might jump back up to 19 and start there. James 1, 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What's working in me is, as we come to this time together tonight, is the fact that there are a lot of teachings that go on around here. I don't think there's any one man in this church who can live out what we've taught. But we do need to choose parts of the Word, focus on it, and give ourselves to it, and become excellent in it, and then move on. And what I'm thinking about are there's certain sermons that I come back to periodically. And it is amazing how many people come up and say something to me as though that is the first time they've ever heard it. That reminds me of class at Mars Hill. I'll ask a question that's based on the reading, and students will try to answer that question, but it's obvious to me that they haven't done the reading. And so we may hear a teaching and think, boy, yeah, boy, that's the Word of God. But then that's the end of it. It becomes like entertainment. You know how when you're just in that mood that you want to see a good movie, and so you get a CD, or some of you may go to the more wealthy may go to the cinema. And, you know, you're just in the mood for an action movie. And you go and you watch that movie, and you get finished and you're kind of pumped up and, you know, or you're relieved or whatever, you know. You didn't do a thing, but sit there and you feel as though you've achieved or something's been accomplished. And the only thing that happened was a little piece of plastic ran in front of a light and you watched it. So you're no different. Nothing has changed, except you feel different for a little while. I think a lot of people use the Word of God that way. You study for how it makes you feel in the moment, rather than coming to it and saying, this is the Word of God, God's will, God's purpose. Let me hear it, and then let me go out and begin to practice it. Does that make sense? So here in James, he tells us, look, you need to flee all of the wickedness in the world, receiving the implanted Word of God. Does that make sense? The way that we flee wickedness and the evilness in the world is we allow the Word of God to become planted inside of us. And so the man who hears what the Word of God says and goes away and doesn't do it, it says it's like somebody who looks in the mirror and says, wow, that's awesome. Because it is awesome. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are the very image of Christ. He lives powerfully inside of you. He has imparted His Spirit. And when you look into the Word of God, it doesn't tell you where you're bad. It tells you who you are. It tells you that you are the emissary. You are the representation of God because He lives inside of you. Christ in you, the fullness of God, is His hope of being glorified in the earth. And that's who you are. So you read the Bible, and you might see where you need to appropriate that, but who you really are is a born-again Son of God, full of the Holy Spirit, fully capable of bringing His kingdom into the earth. And so you read that and you get pumped. But then if you go away and you don't live like that, the Bible says that you're a forgetful hearer. So you go to the movie and you're like, wow, that was a great movie. I'm glad I went. You come to church, you say, wow, that was a great sermon or a great truth. I'm glad I heard that. But if you go away and it doesn't have a real effect in your life, you're a hearer but not a doer. You are not blessed. Because you've been made to feel good or because you've been intellectually challenged does not bless you until it becomes the implanted Word of God and you leave and you begin to practice that Word. Does that make sense? All right, stick with me. We're going to go to three different places, and then we're going to go and we're going to look at a character who, well, we'll look at two different characters that sort of demonstrate what it means to have the Word engrafted and to live according to the Word of God. So flip over, just take a left and go to Hebrews. So James talks pretty much about being a doer of the Word and not being like someone who forgets who you are. Makes sense? Okay, in Hebrews, at the end of chapter 5, it covers some of the same sort of ideas. This guy is writing. We don't know who it was, whether it was Paul or someone similar to Paul, but he's writing to a Hebrew congregations, and he says, about this we have much to say. And of course it's talking about Jesus. There are deeper things to be known about Jesus, and I would like to tell you more about Jesus. However, it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And so there are deeper things in God that we want to go on and understand, but you've become dull of hearing. You know how you become dull of hearing? In the physical, you get older and you become dull of hearing. Your ears go bad, and eventually your brain goes bad, and you just can't hear like you used to. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So the reason we can't go on to deeper teaching and a deeper understanding of this life that God has provided for us, the reason we can't get in touch with who we really are and live out this miraculous thing that God's done is because we've become dull of hearing. And here's how you become dull of hearing. You hear good teaching, and then you don't do it. Because you can go on to deeper things when you've practiced the lesser things, the foundational things. We should be bringing other people into deeper teaching, but we need somebody to go back over the basics with us because we didn't practice those. Hello, yeah, is that good? No, it's not. It's bad. Yeah, no, you're right. It'll only be good if you do it. See, you're playing. I shouldn't. Yeah, it is good. I take it all back. So, can you rewind that? Okay. All right. Now we're going to start over. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's good. Praise the Lord. All right. So those are two of the scriptures. And on this one, let me just illustrate it this way. Have you ever seen a little kid after they've seen a kung fu movie? What do? Yeah, there you go. Hi-ya. You know, that's their favorite words for weeks after they see them. And then they want to see, you know, Kung Fu 2, Kung Fu 3, and, you know, and they want to buy their little gi and, you know, get a belt and talk mom and dad and give them a black belt. And they really do think that if somebody attacks them in the alley, they're going to break their leg. They know it. I mean, they live this over and over because they saw a movie. But then you've got these guys like Bob, you're black belt, right? Who have practiced karate for years. Now, I'm going to guess that if one of these kids who has watched a movie meets somebody in an alley and they're getting attacked, we hope that they have insurance. On the other hand, if Bob gets attacked in an alley, we hope the other guy or guys have insurance. Because he's going to kill him. He's going to break one leg off and beat him over the head with it. You know? What's the difference? He has practiced over and over and over. Very small, basic moves to where it is a part of him. And he reacts in the moment to the situation. His body has memorized what it means to defend itself and, if necessary, defend others. While another kid has seen a movie and talks a lot, Bob never talks about it. Those kids talk, you know, you don't see Bob going, hi-ya, when he sees people. But these little kids, they're like, hi-ya, hi-ya. Maybe we shouldn't laugh because with the Word of God, we see a movie, we hear a sermon, and we're like, yeah! While somebody else who is less demonstrative says, yeah, that's the Word of the Lord. And they go home and they begin to do it every day, every day, every day. Does that make sense? So you can't go on to protecting yourself in the alley if you can't just spend time every day doing the basics. What the Word of God tells you to do. All right? The third place is over in Matthew. This is real familiar. And we're just covering old ground. I hope that's okay. Is this okay? Isn't it a resounding quietness without the women here? Huh? Oh, that's okay. I'm being watched by a mother in Israel. She'll take care of me, right? You'll defend me to the girls, won't you? Uh-oh. I may be in trouble. All right. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay, so we've covered 2 points. The point in James is, if you will read the Bible, it will show you your capacity. It will show you who you truly are. It's not a bunch of rules that some poor individual has to try to live up to. It is a declaration of who you are in God through Christ. Does that make sense? Then the second place we went, it says that you can't go on to the deeper, more profound things if you are not walking out the foundational things. And you really should be at the point that you're opening up your own karate school. If you're not, it's because you've been playing around rather than being disciplined by the Word of God. Yeah? You with me on those two? Okay, good. Now here's the third one. And I love this one. This is one of my favorites. Storms are going to come in your life. I promise you. Storms are going to come in your life. You're going to be laying in bed and you're going to be lonely. And lust is going to come knocking at your door. That's a storm. You are going to have a weekend free. And you're going to have the opportunity to give yourself to fasting and seeking God. And you're going to decide to do that. But then something else is going to come up that you really want to do. That's a storm. And see, every time we're given a storm and we fail, you know what we do? We say, I won't fail next time. Do me a favor, poke the person next to you and say, wake up. What I said was, every time we get into one of these situations where we fail, we say, I am not going to do that again. All right. Thank you for poking. Now just kind of punch them, if you will. Listen, I'm going to keep going until I get your attention. So, you know, it's up to you. Luck, Bob, you know, Bob's closest to you two, and I'm going to have everybody turn around and slap somebody upside the head. Storms are going to come, and the time to prepare for the storm is not when the storm comes. It's today. You build a foundation today by obeying the Word of God. And rather than making entertainment, saying, here, the Word of God says I should grow in this way. This is who I am. I need to become this man because a storm is going to come that this man needs to face. And if this man is just a little kid playing kung fu, he's going to get whooped. And so the foundation, the man who builds his house upon the rock and it doesn't fall in the storms is the man who today hears a word and begins to practice it in the privacy of his own life. When there's no challenge, where there's no storm, he does it anyway. Those men are the ones who go on to become what the mirror says they are. To teach others the deeper things of God and stand in the midst of the storm. And that's what we want to do. We want to become the men that God has made us. We want to be able to go on and mentor other men in these basic things that give them the foundations to then go on and live out the mirror of Christ in their life. And for sure, when the storms come in our life. So here's what I would like you to do. First of all, I would like you to think about the storms that come into your life. Hebrews says, let us lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. Okay? You've got places, some of you, that you know it's a repetitive fail. Whether it's anger. Isn't it interesting over in James? Did anybody notice that in James? Look over there. Know this, verse 19, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Here's the way it works. A rebel does not want to submit to the constraints of the word of God that will produce in them a warrior. They can't stand it. It irritates them to have to discipline themselves. It's called ADD. And it's an excuse not to discipline yourself to the thing that the Word of God calls you to. It just makes you angry to have to sit there. And so they don't discipline themselves to what the Word of God says. But then it boils over and they just get angry. And the Bible says, are you an angry man? Submit yourself to what the Word of God says and discipline yourself to it. Avoid wickedness. Avoid evil, therefore. There is a connection between your anger and your refusal to discipline yourself to righteousness and holiness in the man in the mirror. So if it's anger, you need to be honest with yourself and say, I get angry. I don't, and it's an emotional lack of discipline is all it is. And if you would discipline yourself to study the Word of God, like the Bible tells you to, it makes you into the man in the mirror. That's the connection. And I don't think we've got this. So here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to think about, is there a place in my life where it's a storm comes, and I blow up? Well, let's go look at an example, and then we'll talk about this a little bit more, and then we'll all go beat some guy up in an alley, maybe. I don't know what we'll do. Everybody turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 18. Bob, that's a beautiful stool. Can I use it? All right, great. 1 Samuel 18. I might read the first half of this story. Actually, it's chapter 15. All right, story time. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child, infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord.
I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go devour and devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please, pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Saul had a mirror that he could look in. And when he looked in that mirror, he was the king of Israel. He was ordained by the word of the Lord, the king of Israel, right? But he was small in his own sight. He did not put his faith in the anointing that came from God to rule the nation according to God's word, but in the place of feeling small, in the place of feeling intimidated, in the place where the people were arguing with the word of God, rather than obey the word of God in the moment of his storm, he chose to buckle to the will of the people and allow them to turn him from the word of the Lord. Make sense? He was the king. He had all authority in the nation. That's who he truly was. And the word of the Lord had told him, you can destroy all that and you can kill that king, and it will put to rest much of the wickedness in the nation. But in the challenge of the moment, he buckled. And he didn't listen to the word of the Lord, but he listened to the pressures around him. That's the way it works. Saul had always had this problem of his own personal self-esteem, his own personal view of himself. He lived as though life depended on him. He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else, yet he always trusted in what he could do. And here we see that he did not trust in his anointing as king to fulfill the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? Let me tell you something. God tells you that you're righteous. God tells you that you're holy. God tells you that you are the man for the hour. But in a moment, the people are going to lie to you. In a moment, the people are going to challenge you to not live according to the Word of God. And it's in that moment that the storm comes. You cannot win the battle in that moment. You've got to win that battle today before it gets here. You have got to begin to build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and living out the Word of God in simple little measures. That's the way it happens. Another story you're real familiar with is over in chapter 39. It's the story of Joseph. We could talk about his life a whole lot. But Joseph, one of his temptations. Now think about this. This guy has been sold by his brothers. He's in a foreign land. He has definitely been rejected. His parents don't even know he's alive. I don't know how the language worked at that point in history, but more than likely he was learning a second language. And here he was, alone in a house with a beautiful woman who appreciated both his appearance and his skill set. And she made an offer to him. He ran out of that room so fast, he left his coat behind. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm so alone here and I appreciate the affection. Perhaps we could just sit for a moment." In the moment when the storm came, he ran. You see, that kid, you know what he did in his spare time? And I'm making this up, but you won't care. You know what he did? He would go out at night and he would lay on his back on the top of the house and he would look up and he would see stars and he would see the moon. And he would say, "I know who I am." And at harvest time, he'd climb up to the highest point. He'd look out at all the fields. And he'd see the wheat being bundled up. And he would say, "I know who I am." And every day, he would live out the Word of God. And so in the times that the storms came, he knew who he was. If you don't know the rest of the story of Joseph, he had a couple of visions, and those visions had to do with stars and the moon and bundles of wheat and him being God's man for the hour. And he lived in the vision of the Word of God every day. And so when the temptation came to him, he knew who he was in God, and he overcame. Saul, on the other hand, his trust was in the flesh, in what he could do, because he didn't see himself in God. And so, guys, I don't know where it is that your storm comes and you get defeated. And I think our biggest problem, well, I think one of the problems with trying to overcome those storms is we try to overcome those storms. We want a pill that will help us get over that storm. We want a counseling session that will all of a sudden miraculously help us overcome that storm. We want a 1-hour kung fu movie that will help us beat up, you know, Steven Seagal. You only need a 30-minute movie for that. But anyway, do you understand what I'm saying? We identify our storm that defeats us, and we want a storm-defeating strategy that works on that storm. But what we need is to be men who know who we are and daily live out the Word of God in every aspect, so we become rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So no matter what storm comes our way, we're able to say, "I am God's man for the hour. I am God's woman for the hour. We are the people of God. We know what God is doing inside of us. And I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been extending hospitality. I've been discipling younger brothers. I've been giving myself to the things of God rather than hanging out in coffee shops and talking about useless things. I am a man of God. Bring it on. And I hope you got your insurance. So you go to the Bible. You learn one thing and you do it. I would almost guess that there's some guys in here who have 50 things that you heard in a teaching and you said, that's good. And it's like the tennis racket hanging in your closet. And the racquetball racket. And the handball racket. You don't have any more. The handball glove. And the skateboard. And the inline skates. That's a good idea. But you never give yourself to it. Spiritually, there's so many things hanging in our closets that are a good idea. And we need to begin to give ourselves to those things. So here's my challenge tonight. You've got something hanging in your closet. Something you knew that was good in God. It was the Word of God to you, and you need to begin to do it. Whether it's stay away from something or go to something. Do something, be a certain way. And it hit you, and you're like, wow, that was awesome. But that was the end of it. It was entertainment. It was vicarious participation. And I'm not talking about Christ. Does that make sense? Can you think of something? Oh, yeah, I need to start doing that. Oh, I remember at the men's breakfast when Chad shared that, I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. When Joseph shared that, I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And that Bible study, I said, yeah, that's what I need to do. And you never did it. Does anybody in here have one of those things that you can think of? Put your hand up if you can think of one. Dan, you're the only person, you're the most disciplined person in here. I'd like to know what's going through your head. Tell me later. later. That is a skill that builds your life so that you can become the man of God that withstands the storms. So that you can become the image of Christ. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Choose something that you know God has called you to and you didn't do it. And I want you to share it with your accountability partners. And, you know, I have really thought about ending preaching for a while. Because if you really begin to believe, hey, wait, I need to practice this. If it's to hear something new, if it's to be entertained, yeah, let's keep preaching. But man, if the list is a mile long, why do any kind of preaching that goes on to something deeper? Let's just stop and do what's on our list. Let's pull everything out of our closet that we should be using and make it happen. Does that make sense? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, and I ask the women to do this very same thing at the retreat. Choose one thing. Share that with your accountability group and make that your spiritual task until you master it and it becomes a part of your life. Something that you know the Word of God has called you to or called you away from. Say, this is it. I keep meaning to get around to it. Here it is. This is my list. One thing. And I'm going to do it. And it's going to become a part of my life. And then when I finish that, I'll go on to something else. That's the way you build a life. That's the way you build a foundation. That's the way you remember who you are. That's the way you prepare yourself to go on to something deeper. If you don't pass Accounting 101, let me tell you something. Do not take Accounting 102. Because if you don't have those basic principles before you go on, you will not understand it. And if you find that you can't go on into the deeper things of God, it may be because you never gave yourself and disciplined yourself to the 101s. Okay? So, how many of you have some 101s that you need to do? All right? Let's go ahead and share some of those 101s with each other that we need to do. And when you share it, You are sharing it with your accountability partners. You're sharing it with your home fellowship leader. You're sharing it with your pastor. And we all are around you, and we hear you, and we say, Bob Schmoll, his thigh is going to be like our little finger. Y'all know that story? Well, basically it was a place in the Bible where there was new leadership taking over and everybody was complaining. And he said, ah, you think he was bad? My little finger is going to be like the last guy's thigh. In other words, you think Bob's hard on you? In karate class, if you share this tonight, the brothers are going to be there. We're going to help you get through it. Now, we're not going to be mean. We're not going to push you around or anything. So let's share some of those 101s. This is the thing that we knew we were supposed to do, and we just never got around to it. Who wants to go first?